This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Hour 2 of Jason and Alexis in the Morning. On My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything naked organ playing. I'm Jace. Lex is off for a few days. Dawn has slid over.
Hello.
Mike has entered the room.
Right.
And we are here for your listening pleasure on this Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. I said yesterday that I went to go see Michael Rapaport at the House of Comedy at Mall of America Saturday night. And the story that I held off on because I wanted to kind of expand it, and it's perfect timing. I had no idea, obviously, I'm not a psychic. I had no idea that a story was going to come forward to further this discussion. What I'm talking about is that comedian in, I believe, New Jersey, Ariel Elias, who was heckled at a comedy club over the weekend, and then the woman threw a beer at her against the wall. And the woman, the comedian, was heckled by somebody who was a pro-Trump individual and, like, raised their hand to or started talking to the comedian about who she voted for.
Okay.
At a comedy show.
What? Just, this is not crowd participation.
Yeah.
When you go to a comedy show, it's not an invitation for you to participate. I would just like to say that as somebody who's done stand-up before. You're not invited to talk back.
Yeah. And my talkers, don't worry. This isn't, I'm just laying out the specifics. This isn't a political thing by any means. But this is a societal thing, because then, so I'll get back to her. But ironically, Rapaport, when he got on stage on Saturday night, we were at the 9:30 show, and Rapaport, about 30 minutes in, made a comment to us that we were a docile audience.
Yes. Yeah, it's great because we're nice Minnesotans. It usually doesn't happen a lot here.
Well, he was talking about the 9:30 audience.
Okay.
I guess we went Saturday, he was there Friday, Saturday. I guess Friday and Saturday, there was a fight.
What?
There was a heckler. And I'm like, what? And I meant to DM him to get specifics, but he was referencing how we were very polite and a nice, docile crowd. And he pointed. He goes, yeah, right here where you were sitting. These idiots were screaming and fighting.
Oh, come on.
And then this comedian in New Jersey, this thing happened. And I thought, good Lord, what the hell is wrong with us?
Oh, man.
And Whoopi Goldberg on The View said as much. Here's her reaction.
Sure.
Because that video is frightening. I mean, the video's scary.
Yeah.
That comedian's just up there, and a thing of beer is hurtled toward her, and it smashes against the wall behind her. Here's Whoopi.
So that's what you face now when you're a stand-up.
Yeah.
People throwing bottles. You know, it's funny in the Blues Brothers, when they're behind that thing, and they're singing, I think, rolling, 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 whatever, and they're throwing bottles and stuff, but that is not funny. No. When you're just trying to make your living. And if you go to see somebody and you don't like their jokes, get up and leave. You don't have to throw stuff. Mm-hmm. I hope they find y'all. I hope they find y'all. And you are prosecuted for assault.
Whoopi Goldberg yesterday on The View. It is. We've just gotten to a point where it's just everybody is just mad to the point of, and you just can't disagree. You have to be disagreeable. Again, this was a political thing. The woman in the audience just blatantly stood up after a joke or two and asked the comedian who she voted for. And then the woman said, "I know you voted for Biden with those jokes." And the comedian's like, "What? Like what's going on here?" It's like, so she voted differently than you. You're going to throw a beer. You're going to throw a can of beer at her. That's where we're at. That's what's happening.
Okay. Yep, that's what's happening.
I know.
Maybe they just need to get like a big shield and then they can.
Or plexi.
Yeah, big plexi.
Like during the pandemic.
Yeah, sure. A big plexiglass.
I don't know. It was that. And then again, I was reminded of what Michael Rappaport said on Saturday. And I really do want to know what happened in the 7 o'clock audience.
Like, yeah,
what?
If you were there, let us know.
Yeah. What were they fighting amongst each other? Were they yelling at Michael?
Maybe it's just some guys who came in from the mall.
Yeah.
You know, that's always because it's in the Mall of America. And I think some people just walk by and they go, oh, let's go see a comedy show.
Well, and if there's one comic I wouldn't mess with, it's Rappaport. Because he will rip apart you. He will take you apart. And so
he should.
Yeah. He doesn't care. He really doesn't care.
God.
So
weird. The only thing I've seen is, you know, some heckling at, I've seen some heckling at Acme, but the rest of the crowd is so mad because they came to see the show that everybody shuts the person up. They're like, get out of here. Like, people defend the comedian and they kind of remove them. You know, they're like, nah, you got to go.
Well, they should be removed. Everybody's paying $20, $30, $40. Come on. And if you are so sensitive about your side of an argument, that says way more about you than anything. You're that fragile.
You don't need to go to comedy shows.
No. If you're that fragile and you can't take a joke, genteel about your side of a political argument.
Oh God.
You really have to look inward because, again, I miss the days when comedians can make fun of all the politicians without people having a think of Carson, and I know we're eons away from that era, but even Leno and Letterman. I mean, I remember Carson making fun of every single president because they're funny. They do dumb things.
That's what everybody used to do. Even at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, they would, you know, do jokes about the president that was there.
I mean, think of the Dan Quayle jokes, Dawn, when we were teenagers. Oh my goodness, comedians made fortunes off of Vice President Dan Quayle. Well, he couldn't. Well, yeah. And then Billy Boy, you know, that was a treasure chest for comedians.
So to speak.
You know, kind of, yeah, so to speak.
Oh, God.
So
people have lost their minds.
They have lost their
angry.
Minds.
Yeah. It's just like,
You know what makes people happy, though? The movies.
Yeah.
My Talk 107.1 is a proud partner of Twin Cities Film Fest. Twin Cities Film Fest will feature over 140 films in person and online. That's so cool. October 20th through October 29th. Get all the details at TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. When we come back, a marriage between Game of Thrones and Ozark. What do we mean? Dawn will explain when we come back.
And now on Jason and Alexis in the Morning, a message from our sponsor from like the 70s or 80s.
Gee, it's hard to face giving up taste when you give up calories.
Have a diet drink.
The taste isn't much of a treat.
This is sugar-free Dr. Pepper.
Wow!
Sugar-free Dr. Pepper tastes fattening, but it's not. How can sugar-free taste so sugarful? What a great taste this one's got. How do they make so few calories taste like such a lot? Sugar-free Dr. Pepper tastes fattening, but it's not.
Da, da, da. This has been a Jason and Alexis classic commercial. We now return you to our regularly scheduled mediocre radio show.
Tastes fattening, but it's not. Tastes fattening, but it's not. I love that.
Yeah, I don't know if it tastes fattening.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Tastes fattening, but it's not. That's a good little stuck in my head. Anyway, welcome
and
back,
now everybody.
Everybody
else is.
I know.
Just you're like,
you're welcome, everybody. You're very welcome. Jason and Alexis in the morning. Alexis is taking a few days off to hang with her family. I'm Jace with Dawn and producer Mike back on the board, dusting it off and making sure it doesn't catch on fire. It's October 11th. Who got married, Dawn?
Oh, my gosh. A weird couple that I didn't even know was a couple. it's just sometimes you see people and you're like, those two people got married? So I'm talking about Lena Headley,
okay,
who is from Game of Thrones.
She got shamed, right?
Yeah. Shame. Cersei Lannister.
Yeah.
She was also in Gladiator, right? Yeah, she was the wife. That was the first time we really kind of saw her. But, you know, played a great role. I love a good villain role. I love playing a villain. So I was all about Cersei. I mean, then he got really pissed because she was just evil. But she just married from Ozark. He played Russ Langmore, the first, like Ruth's uncle, who has the affair with the FBI agent. You know who I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, he was a fisherman and like real, like I'm a real hillbilly and I'm real masculine. Okay. But then he turned out to be gay.
Remember? Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. Minute you said gay, then I was like, yeah, I know it all.
If you haven't seen it, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
He, you know, isn't in the show for too many seasons, but
no.
You know, that was a really cool plot twist. Just think of that couple together. It's weird, right?
Yeah, very weird.
I'm like,
very weird.
And, you know, a lot of people, they married in Italy. It was a beautiful ceremony, you know, just gorgeous. His name is, by the way, not just Russ Langmore. His name is Mark Menchaca or Menchaca. Sure. Menchaca.
Okay.
Something like that. But I don't love his outfit that he wore to the wedding. I'll be honest with you.
What did he wear?
You can see it. I have a link in the grid there. It's like a hat that somebody from the cast of Yellowstone would be wearing. And his look is the same. Like he has a big old mustache and a suit on. And they're Hollywood, because so they're weird, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. But Sophie Turner was there. The Jonas that she married, Joe Jonas.
Joe.
Rick Astley was there.
Never gonna give you up.
That's right. Peter, maybe he sang. Who knows? Peter Dinklage was there and some other Game of Thrones people. So I guess they've been together since 2020. They attended the premiere of HBO's The Outsider together. And then they confirmed their romance in November of that year. You know, this is pandemic time, so we don't know. All we cared about is ourselves. We weren't looking to see who was dating.
Lena Headey. Looks so different in real life compared to how she looks in Ozark or Game of Thrones. That if she was in Trader Joe's with me, I think I would walk right past her. And I'm not joking. I've always thought that.
Oh, she looks very pedestrian.
Well, no, I just mean she looks so different.
Yeah.
And I think it is the blonde, the wig and everything.
Yeah.
She looks so different out of Westeros or whatever the hell it's called.
Right. Because they have costumes on. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like.
She just looks very different.
Yeah, there's a picture of her. They're probably walking to Trader Joe's together. She has on a beanie. I love it whenever people in California, they want to wear winter clothes.
So bad.
Because it's a fashion choice. But
yes.
It's hot.
Yeah.
So she has on a bra top and a beanie that you would go outside if it was 30 degrees and a sweatshirt around her waist. Now I'm just making fun of her outfit.
That's fine.
It's really not more to the story.
No,
but
it's fine.
I just thought it was a weird couple. You know,
it is
like
a weird couple.
To think that maybe like Jason Bateman and people from Ozark would be mixing with the Game of Thrones people in one place is weird. And that
it's
all went to Italy to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to get married. I was watching The View on.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I was watching, I shouldn't say that I don't watch The View because it goes up against my show, to be very honest with you. But I was watching clips on YouTube
when
I came home, like most of you do. I'm sure that's how you ingest a lot of shows. Maybe I am reading more into this than is actually there. If anybody watched this, let me know on the Twitters.
Okay.
So Kathy Najimy, now this was a couple days ago. Kathy Najimy was on The View.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously promoting Hocus Pocus 2. And obviously, Kathy Najimy and Whoopi are friends and starred in Sister Acts together.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy comes out, immediately hugs Whoopi. Whoopi is very effusive in her introduction of Kathy. And I'm telling you all this for a reason. So the very end of the interview, 7-minute interview, at the very end, Sonny brings up Sister Act, the love for Sister Act, and the possibility, you know, the never-ending talk about another Sister Act. Listen, and it's more visual, it's visual too, but listen to Whoopi's response.
Okay.
And it's interesting.
We've been talking about Sister Act 3 around here a lot lately. With Jennifer Lewis and Tyler Perry, we just had him on the show. How much fun?
Kathy did not look at Whoopi and smile at that moment.
Uh-oh.
She's just looking at Sonny.
Okay. Did you have filming the first two? And what would you both look forward to for number three?
You know, I haven't heard anything formal about three yet. I've heard rumblings of it. I mean, I think it would be a blast of fun. I really...
Whoopi... They now do a close. Kathy then turned to Whoopi for that. And Whoopi, they do a close up of Whoopi, and she's kind of stone face and just politely nodding.
Oh,
no smile.
I look forward to the nuns that we were with, that we that are still with us, seeing them again.
Yeah.
They were fantastic.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah.
And of course, Whoopi and Wendy and I, you know, Mary Wicks. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Now, here we go.
Great women. Great women.
So, where is that at? Is that happening?
It is happening. We're getting a script at the end of the month.
So, that sounds really fun.
A little while, but it's happening.
Of course, it's happening. Yeah.
And you all helped it happen, I think, because they brought Hocus Pocus back. They finally said, well, we might as well.
put those nuns back out there and see if they have any juice.
Oh. And that it was very odd. Like Kathy, when you look at their faces, and I would encourage you all to look at the clip, it was very like, and I know they probably can't say anything. You know, if Whoopi's probably a producer with Tyler Perry.
Oh.
So maybe maybe Kathy hasn't been offered it yet.
Oh, God.
Maybe she's not going to be offered it. But y'all watch this clip. It was hella awkward.
Maybe. How did you find it? Is it just on YouTube?
I'll send it to you right
now.
Okay,
great.
I will. Hold on just a second. I'll put it. I was like, I watched it twice.
It's just you read the room and you were like, what's going on?
The clip that we're going to post, go to the very end. Sister Act 2's, Sister Act 3's mentioned at the very end. And just watch Whoopi's face. And I'm not trying to find something because I hate when people do that. I think they love each other. I don't think there's beef, but it was... I do have eyes, and it was hella awkward.
So what if Whoopi doesn't like Kathy Najimy, and she's an executive producer, and they haven't offered her the part yet?
Maybe.
And because she's like, I kind of don't want to work with her. I mean, you never know if people like each other or not, truly, you know?
Yeah.
But if she's on The View, if Whoopi didn't like her, let's just pretend Whoopi didn't like her, would she be asked to be on The View?
No.
Okay. Well,
probably not.
There ends that weird.
Well, and again, that's why I said at the very beginning, Kathy went right up as she did her entrance. She went to Whoopi first and gave her a giant hug. And Whoopi was effusive and smiling in her introduction.
Right.
I am saying when the topic turned to Sister Act 3, it got very stoic.
Or maybe whatever studios behind it did not offer, you know, like Whoopi had a lot of trouble getting the money she wanted.
Maybe.
Would that be?
Maybe.
I don't know.
And they can't afford Kathy. Maybe. I don't know. It was weird. Watch it for yourself and let me know what y'all think.
Okay.
When we come back, a little game for game time next. We're opening up some AOL.
You've got mail.
Before we play a game.
I got things to say about that clip as well.
Okay. Jody writes to us on Twitter, when Jennifer Lewis was on The View, Whoopi offered her, wanted to lock her in for Sister Act 3. And she didn't do that for Kathy.
Oh, God.
And then Phil wrote the same thing, sent me a clip comparing the two clips. Whoopi literally said to Jennifer on The View, hey, you know, we're going to do that. We're going to do Sister Act 3. Very different from then when Kathy and Jimmy was on. What were you going to say, Don?
Okay, so she mentioned, I didn't realize in the sound clip, I thought it was Sunny that asked, is that happening? It was Kathy.
Kathy
looked over at Whoopi and goes, is that happening?
Yes!
Like, there's an IMDb for it, honey. And she just said that she's like, yeah, we just got a script yesterday. If you aren't in the loop about that the script is done, you're not in the script.
No.
You're not in it. And I don't know why. Like, if you have to on live TV, to me, that's really desperate and a little thirsty to go, is that happening? You got to try to force her to say it on TV. Maybe okay. I'm getting too into this.
Okay, hear me out there, Don. I don't know if it's thirsty on Kathy's part. Kathy was put in the uncomfortable, and I'm not blaming Sunny.
Right.
I would bring it up too. But Kathy was put on the spot by Sunny bringing it up.
Yeah.
Sunny didn't know, and Sunny was asking because she's excited. She goes, you know, we've been talking about Sister Act 3 a lot on this show. So there's Kathy put in the uncomfortable position to have to act happy about being in the franchise and then being asked, because Sunny was the one that brought up Sister Act 3. And then Kathy looks over at Whoopi like, is that happening? I feel bad for Kathy. I don't think Sunny meant anything by it, but it was not a great position for Kathy Najimy to be put in.
Now, on IMDb, the only person people listed as actors are Wendy McKenna, who played Sister Mary Robert, and Whoopi Goldberg in the cast so far. They have the producers listed, but there isn't anybody else, just those two.
Why? Why in the world would you not? Kathy was the breakout star.
Oh, for sure. She's been a comedian for years. I actually was in a play called the Kathy and Mo Show, and it was just a bunch of little skits. Like, she was a huge comedian in the, like, 80s, you know,
doing
stuff off Broadway and doing plays and stuff. And, just a bunch
of skits. But I mean breakout as far as the mass culture.
For sure. Yep. So, wow. I mean, it can be anything. If you don't like working with someone and you find them obnoxious or something, I don't know. They might have something behind the scenes that we don't know about.
But wouldn't you then, if you're Whoopi, wouldn't you
tell your friend?
Tell Sunny, girl, do not bring up.
Oh, because
they know the bookings. Yeah. They know, and they have talked about Sister Act 3 a lot. So if you're Whoopi, and you know that it's an uncomfortable position, and you're not going to ask Kathy for, as Dawn, you know, Dawn just, there could be a myriad of reasons, money, budget, script consideration. If you're not going to do it, wouldn't you warn everybody? Hey, don't bring this up, by the way, because Kathy's not in it.
I mean,
that would
close
be the nice thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay.
It was just...
That is weird. I put it up on our show links. You can go to our website and just search Jason and Alexis show links.
I've
got the time code in there.
It makes me sad because I loved her, and it's, she's one of my favorite characters in Sister Act. And it befuddles me, like, script-wise, like, why would you not put her in there? But, yeah, maybe they don't get along. Maybe they don't like working with each other. Who knows? I don't know. Let's play a few rounds. It is game time, everybody. Please play at home. And as David Letterman says, please, no wagering. No wagering.
It's time to make a choice.
Would you rather?
Jason and Alexis present Would You Rather?
I'm going to get producer Mike up in here.
Yeah, he's going to have to answer.
Yeah, please enjoy this elevator music while I pull up my $5. They raised it.
Oh, did they? Yeah.
Damn you, Biden. They raised.
It's Obama's fault. I remember.
That's right. Shoot, I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot. It's Obama's fault. Here we go. Would you rather have everything that you draw become real?
Oh, wow.
Or become a superhero of your choice?
Oh. I would have to learn to draw better than I can.
I'm a pretty terrible drawer, so I don't think I'd go that direction. Yeah.
Right.
I'd draw a horse and it'd come out looking, you know, like goofy and could barely walk. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be rough.
I would be a superhero.
Me too. Mike, you doing superhero?
I could get really good at drawing $100 bills, though. I mean, that would be the most. I don't know. It's probably the superhero thing. Yeah.
Okay. And then what's your power?
Ooh. Oh. I want to be Spider-Man.
Do you? Or just, so webbing.
I want to be able to crawl up Ryan Phillippe's home wall. I want to be able to crawl up and stare at his window.
Okay.
Everything always goes back to Ryan Phillippe.
Oh,
okay, here
we
go.
I want to teleport anywhere
Do
around
you
the
want
world.
To teleport? Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Bink. Would you rather be born again in a totally different life?
I've already done it.
Yeah, we've all done it, I think. Born again with all the knowledge that you have now.
Oh, that is a tough one. I think all the knowledge. But as a baby, do you want to know all that knowledge? Because my hope would be able to troubleshoot things.
Yeah.
That I've done wrong.
Yeah, me too. I'll pick that one.
Yeah.
With all the knowledge
Mike,
that I
what
have.
Do you
That's
think?
The hard part, though. It's the whole butterfly effect. It's like, can you manipulate it? Then what happens when you change one thing, and then all of a sudden, this person that was really important in your life never even is a part of your life anymore?
Oh.
So I'd go the other route, I think. It's too scary.
Oh, it's too scary?
Yeah.
Because you want to keep what you have. You're greedy, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
no, I just don't want to lose.
I don't want to lose what I. What
oh, that's
okay,
sweet.
Mike. You my love.
I just don't want to look bad again.
we're just jaded and vain. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh
okay.
Boy.
I was nice to all of you. Now we're gonna end with a dirty one. Here we go. Would you rather lose the ability to have sex with other people, or lose the ability to have sex with yourself?
Oh, other people. I'm going to take my headphones off for this one.
Mike?
Yeah.
Me
you
too.
To.
Yeah, yeah. You have to. Yeah.
You have to be other people.
Yeah.
If not, it's weird.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
Well, like, you're
I'll be happy with you.
What'd you say, Mike?
So I went like, there's a lot of years of doing it by myself, so I don't think I need to. if you get like a dry spell like that happening again, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
What a good way to
end. I'll be happy with your choice.
This has been Would You Rather.
if you've seen a real estate ad, you know, oh, look at the countertop. Oh, look at the towels. Look at the picture frames. You notice certain things. When we come back, Dawn will tell you about something you probably didn't notice in a very particular real estate listing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I will tell you I finished Dahmer. Speaking of scary things, I finished Dahmer. My overall thoughts now in its totality when we return. Jason and Alexis in the morning on My Talk and streaming around the globe on our My Talk app. My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything Elka Seltzer. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. I'm Jace. Lex is off for a few days. Dawn is here, thank goodness. Mike is here, thank goodness. And you're here, thank goodness. There's a real estate listing that's garnering a lot of attention and not for its marble countertops, right, Dawn?
Right. Okay, so this is in New Hampshire. Okay. It's gone viral because the homeowners let the listing agent put, it's just like a little cabin in the woods, and they let him put Michael Myers hidden in every picture. It's like, where's Waldo? So at first, like, you're like, oh, that's a cute little cabin, you know, if you're looking for a cabin. In the background, if you zoom in on the first picture, there's this little well, and he's standing behind the well, like way deep in the woods. The second one is a little bit more obvious, where it's like the dining room table. It has, you know, like the upstairs and, you know, in another little room. And in the pass-through to the kitchen, he's just slightly visible. It's like half of his face and his arm. Another one, another angle of the house from the back view. He's in the window. And then, oh, God, the kitchen one, the interior kitchen is great because he's looking in the window, which is probably the most terrifying because it puts you as the viewer inside the house at this point. He's in the basement next to the washing machine. I mean, it's so funny. I just love it.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
And they will sell that cabin.
Yes.
Way quicker than other cabins. I don't know how much it's in New Hampshire, so I'm sure it's an astronomical price.
Yeah.
But good job, dude. Good job to them for taking that risk. I will tweet it out right now. That's probably the easiest way for you guys to see it quickly. But it's probably sold. I haven't checked up on it to see if it's sold yet, but just that alone, just the whimsy of it, as Ryan Purpich would say.
Chris Lindahl, if you're listening, I think we should start putting Freddy Krueger and the Children of the Corn, freaking get Malachi in every single listing.
Gosh, there's one. Oh, there's one in the shower where they have the shower curtain closed and you can see the top of his head. He's just peeking over the top. Oh, God, it's just hysterical. There's one where he's on the bed and he's on his stomach and he has his little hands up and his legs crossed. Like, I'm just here to welcome you to your new home. It's so funny. God. Oh, this cabin's bigger than I thought. I'm looking at a side view now.
Oh.
Little vacation home, you know.
It's so brilliant. Way to go. Way to go on that one.
I'm gonna check to see if they've sold it.
Yeah.
Okay, now I want to hear about Dahmer. We might need to continue this into the
segment. I finished it. Dahmer on Netflix. Ten episodes. Oh, those are Freudian slip right there, because my feeling is typical Ryan Murphy, meaning he can never stick a landing. He can never, ever, ever stick a landing. Yeah. My feeling is it could have been 8 great episodes. The stuff done in 9 and 10, though important, could have been easily done in 8.
Yeah.
They could have put the events of 9 and 10 into 8, or divided them between 7 and 8 and wrapped that puppy up. It just felt like an add-on. And again, there are some important stuff that happens in 9 and 10.
Okay.
But I don't think it needed 2 additional episodes. Now, taking that off the table, I'm just going to judge it by 1 through 8. I hate to say that I enjoyed something about Jeffrey Dahmer, and I know it's controversial. I know the victims' families don't like it for very good reasons. But I'm not going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it.
Sure.
I thought it was very well done. Enjoy is probably not the right word. But I did, yeah, I did enjoy it.
Well, you know, there's no shame in being interested in the minds of serial killers because it's so far removed from our daily morals and experiences that, you know, you it makes you question, like, am I capable of doing that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people say that every person is capable of killing. You just might not know that part of yourself right now.
Yeah.
Like if you were in a position, if somebody, you know, in self-defense or who knows?
Yeah.
You know, so we want to know about the psychology of serial killers. We want to try to get into their mind and figure it out. You got to try to figure, like, okay, well, is X, Y, and Z if that happens? I mean, you can't experiment with people and go, let's put them in this situation and see if they turn into a serial killer. That's not realistic. But so we're constantly trying to figure them out. I mean, that's my theory on it.
And my takeaway, and this won't comfort the victims' families at all, but here's a positive, and that is what this show did for me as just an observer. It made me think of these men not as a list of 17 names. It helped remind me or make me realize, and you know, we were alive during this time. Dawn and I were alive. It made me realize they weren't just names on a nightly news graphic.
So true.
And I think, and it also highlighted for the younger generation the injustice of that community, of the victims, of the families. It reminded folks of this could have been prevented. A lot of these victims didn't have to die.
Right.
And hopefully now that we know, again, when you know better, you do better. Hopefully we are smarter. I doubt it at times. But so to the victims' families, I just want you to know, I took in the stories of your loved ones. I just didn't enjoy it for the macabre nature of it.
Right, right.
So Dahmer's available right now on Netflix. Still number one. And now they have the tapes of Jeffrey Dahmer. Netflix is going a little Dahmer crazy, in my opinion. Yeah. Anyway, that's what they do, though. When we come back, speaking of scary things, Second Chance Romance is straight ahead next.
For 9 years, a dangerous man terrorized women, breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms today.